Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WMR.FM. It's the 3rd of February, 2022. In case you guys didn't notice, yesterday was Groundhog Day, but again, you mightn't have noticed because the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, in the last 2 years have been Groundhog Day. So, for the record, the groundhogs almost entirely saw their shadows, and they've in their rodent sort of way predicted another 6 weeks of winter. So there you go. Not like you were going outside anyway. So this is Jim Hedger from Digital Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. Dave, how you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Just fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a mellow snow day out here in the east. I think pretty much everyone from Texas on up to Northern Ontario is getting blasted by winter storms today. So, you know, Groundhog Day, 6 more weeks of it. A little bit frightened for our friends in Texas, though. There's tens of thousands already who are without power, and so a little bit worried for our friends in Texas.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I guess I'm kind of spoiled, right? Like, you know, where I am, like, I just sort of like live in the, you know, Northwest and just like
British Columbia, Canada, where it's got to be what, a good 70 or 80 degrees Fahrenheit every day.
That's pretty much it. It is. I'm just looking it up right now. I'm like, what is the temperature here? Okay. It's mild anyway. It'll be like 10 degrees Celsius or something like that right now. So not too bad. So about mid 50s.
Yeah. You're kidding me. Really? Dude. Okay. Cause it's actually almost cherry blossom time in Victoria, BC.
They're starting to come out on they're budding on the tree in front of my house.
God, you suck. Later. Actually, that's wonderful. I'm actually very, very happy for you. That's one of my favorite times to be on in Victoria. Like, later today, I'm going to be outside with a snow shovel, taking literally a foot of snow off my driveway. Later this week, Dave is going to be outside on his driveway, also with a snow shovel, but he's going to be tossing cherry blossoms, because that's how it goes on the West Coast.
They're a hazard.
For real. Anyway, as you guys might have noticed, we're not getting into the search talk so quickly because it's been a slow, very slow week. We don't even have guests this week, so it's just me and Dave. It's been a slow week, but a lot of cool stuff happened as slow as the week has been. One of the cool things is Webcology was named by our friends over at Ahrefs among the top SEO podcasts. For the millionth year running.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, eh?
So to Rebecca over at Ahrefs, and also to, like, you know, everybody else who's on that list and everyone who's not on that list who makes content for who makes content for our industry, like, thank you. It's cool to be mentioned among these people, and I just think it's really cool that people give of themselves and try to create media and information that helps the industry. So again, Ahrefs, thank you.
Yeah. One thing I like, and I hope they start doing, because I saw after the list came out and some other suggestions in there, and I'm like, it might be time to maybe split that up into like a couple different lists, like a few, because there were some great suggestions and I'm like, oh, but it doesn't quite make it, but it would be really super interesting to internet marketers. Like, I get why it wasn't in the list, but it's super interesting. So it'd be interesting if they sort of added and sort of went, here's just like the best ones that internet marketers would find interesting and sort of segmented it out that way, like general, I'm a big fan of like Under the Influence, right? Which is general marketing, but super, like, there's a lot of internet marketing stuff in there and insights and stuff. So, you know, dividing it out a little bit like that. But anyway, wonderful to be included. And I love the write-up that they wrote on us. So
yeah, that was most kind. And you can never have a list that's long enough for some of the great information. That's Mike King. Indeed. Mike Icon King did not make the list. He's got an amazing technical SEO podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool to be there. So I think that the biggest thing that happened this week is a bunch of things that are all about, change in the environment that we're in. For instance, everyone's been giving their earnings and their user reports, and public corporations have to speak publicly about their earnings every quarter. And Facebook is having a rough week. For the first time ever in Facebook's history, this quarter, it lost users.
Yeah.
It also saw its stock price decline by like 22%. This isn't related to any celebrity protests or any controversies. This is actually related to new applications like TikTok or WhatsApp. Facebook is still the social media that I understand the most, but I'm old. And it's beginning to feel a lot like MySpace. But not as versatile.
Yeah. you can't do quite as much with it.
Yeah, you used to be able to make like Godzilla walk across your like MySpace profile. You can't do that on Facebook.
No. So what's the point?
I can't get Chewy dancing to nothing on Facebook. No. Facebook or Meta, as they prefer to call themselves in their new emo phase, are declining in both popularity and importance in the and it feels palatable. They're still the biggest social network like anywhere ever, massive, quarter of the world's population involved in it is a quarter of the world's population involved in it. It's mind-blowing. But is it assailable? Is Facebook in trouble?
I've been having that same sort of thought process myself and going, okay, what actually is this and can they recover? I remember a time when Bing launched and like MSN, like where all of a sudden there were some contenders chiseling away at Google. Like it's sort of like they came out, everybody was doing nothing. They were all serving Google results. Then all of a sudden, a few of them didn't. And they started chiseling away from Google. And Google went, well, I guess we need to do better and more. And then they did. And then all of a sudden it went back to sort of actually probably worse for those other companies than it was before, right? Like they actually lost market share, even though they were just giving all their market share to Google. At least they were creating some ad revenue. So I do wonder, is this a case of the writing's on the wall, like Facebook's in decline? Or is it their moment to go, okay, now we need to diversify. Like Facebook served this purpose. We can either change Facebook, probably not going to get back your users, or do we diversify into more areas, capturing just more market in different spots. I suspect that's probably the route they'll go. Like diversity is security. And just sort of go, oh, okay, if TikTok's our big threat, like Facebook can like saunter up and go, I mean, other than the fact of the origin of TikTok, like the origin country of TikTok. But that as an aside, they can walk in and basically dominate. They have that kind of capital to do. Even with their loss, they've got a lot of money. So it'll be what do they do as a reaction? And do the board have it in them to do it, or are they going to take the short cash? Because it would take a big outpouring of money to be able to do what I think they'll probably want to do next, if they do want to keep it up, rather than just sort of go, okay, well, let's just like bleed this thing dry and make some money on our way out, or at least minimize losses on our way out.
Well, yeah, I mean, neat thing about Facebook is they're in the position of being the ultimate platform. They can have virtually anything they want to throw their money at operating on that platform as a Facebook entity, or they can do what they've done with Instagram. Purchase a parallel property, which gives them an equal amount of virtual real estate to throw billboards up on, to throw ads up beside. So they're in a neat position. If TikTok's getting under their skin or starting to bleed revenues to TikTok, TikTok may be a standalone program, but it's a video player. It lets people create short video clips and distribute them to through its own algorithmic network. Facebook knows a thing or two about algorithmic networks. I don't think TikTok is unassailable. I think Facebook, if it really wanted to, could quite easily create a new environment that could rival TikTok. But here's the thing about platforms like Facebook. Whenever they try to do stuff that's not their core mission, their core business, they do it half-assed. Look at Google and all the amazing things that they've tried to do in a total half-assed sort of way. Yeah. And it never really pulls off. But they're Google, and so it's really important for the time it's at. Google Plus was so important for the time it existed. But it was nothing compared to the hulking, massive platform that's trying to copy Facebook. Facebook, in turn, it's got to do something. It's got to become interesting again. Facebook was a cesspool of hate for the longest time, where the culture wars were being fought tooth and nail. They limited political comment. But that was the way they dealt with the issue. They didn't really deal with the issue. It's still a place where people disagree all the time, and that sells them more. That gets them more clicks. So who knows? I think people don't feel good about the place, though.
No, it has more and more become a place. Like, I used to actually try and have like discussions there and stuff, because it is mostly like your friends. Now I've just found that I've taken to, like, if I find something real funny, I'll like post it. I'll like scroll people's feeds and avoid politics for the most part, unless there's just like a really like nice story. I shared the Charter of Rights and Freedoms yesterday, right? Like, there is no anybody who's going to say this is bad, right? Like, it's just a good thing for in the country that I live in, right? Or that we live in. So, those sort of things, fine. You know, chatting with my dad or my sister, fine. But it's no longer what it used to be, which was this place where I could actually go to find information. In just sort of like general, hey, let's find out what's going on in the world. Oh no, you don't want to do that there. Like, it's regardless of what your opinion is, you're going to either just get patted on the back for being biased in the way that you're biased, or you're going to like just hate somebody because Facebook decided to throw a few of those at you too. Yep.
No matter what, you probably ain't going to feel good afterwards.
No, exactly. And I think that is why people are moving to TikTok and things like that. Like, I sit and look at TikTok. I know my wife does too. And you just sit and scroll, because you can sit, scroll, laugh. And if something crosses your radar that you're like, don't care, you've invested like 1 second. Like, and then it's gone and you're on to the next thing that kind of makes you like laugh or is interesting in some way to you. So I can see definitely why they captured it, like why that specific sort of format is drawing users away from Facebook.
Yeah, I think the other thing about TikTok is it's not a lot of space for you to scream at the other person for no apparent reason. Where Facebook...
No, and most of the content on there is like, okay, there's a new song and people are doing something stupid to it, right? Like, and so you're just watching that. Like, I'm not really inspired to be outraged by anything that's like put across me. Now, part of that will be like my conditioning of the system, but most of the content produced for it is just, some of it's just stupid and ridiculous and horrible. And like, I just lost brain cells watching that. But I've never really encountered anything that I'd be like, that actually makes me feel a strong emotion other than laughter.
Yeah. Which is a good, strong emotion these days. As much laughter as you can experience. Good, probably. Indeed. A good thing. Let me ask you one last question on this. I mean, I know we're really going after a dead horse here, but the truest way to measure the importance of any platform or social network in our world is, where are you focusing client advertising dollars? Are you spending it in that environment? Or are you finding new places to focus that spend?
You know, I think like any environment or like any sort of scenario, a lot of that depends on the client, right? Like there are still people that Facebook is the target audience. That's where they are. And that hasn't changed for a lot of people. I work a lot in, as you know, like machine learning and high tech. So Facebook was never really the place for me. For those sorts of clients working in travel, it was, but even not as important as say Instagram, even at, you know, recently, in sort of travel. I mean, it has more importance there. But you look in like high tech, no, it's like LinkedIn, it's Twitter, like it's not Facebook. And I think for most, you know, if you're selling something where you're trying to appeal to the sort of every person, Facebook is still going to be fairly strong place to advertise. You just might need to diversify into TikTok. You might need to diversify into, but I mean, TikTok, you be creative. Like there's a lot of different things there. And I don't know even like, I don't go into it like myself. I don't work in it. So, but I do know it's very, very different. But if where you're trying to, you've got a product or service where you're trying to capture people where they are when they're wasting time. Right, which is fine. Like we all should waste time. We all should waste lots of time, you know, as much as we can watching TikTok or whatever it might be. But I don't go to Facebook when I'm like, need to get some work done. Right, like let's go over to Facebook. That's not where I go. I feel sorry. I'm saying that my wife is sitting like 10 feet away from me who works in Facebook, so she does. But
spending some of that client ad money there, right?
Exactly. But you know, when I go to, you know, Google Ads or something like that, you know, there I tend to find, well, Google Ads is sort of all over the board, but you know, you look at like Twitter or LinkedIn advertising, especially where you're going, where people are when they're trying to do a task. Right. Like when I even Google advertising, generally, other than like remarketing or the Discover Network or whatnot. But for the most part, when you think of Google Ads, it's I am here to do a thing. When I'm advertising on like Facebook or on TikTok, it'd be like, I need to distract you from the thing you're doing, which is just a different thing. I came here for a different thing and you could advertise as opposed to, Google or LinkedIn or often Twitter. But sort of Twitter bridges that gap. But where I'm here to perform a task. And so you need to advertise me on something related to that task, or at least my job, right? To get me to sort of move out there. So anyway, that's just sort of how I view those. But so basically, long workaround to your story is it'll always depend on who you're trying to target to. But I think this does sort of make people pause and think and go, might need to diversify a little bit. Or like people who went, oh, Google's lost a bit of market share, might need to diversify. And then 6 months later, a year later, went, oh, no, that worked itself out pretty fast.
One thing that I did this week that was actually really cool with Facebook, and then like I said earlier, Facebook is a platform, and on platforms, you can have any array of tools that will do a job for you. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's people are gearing up for conference season again. I know that Digital Summit is looking at going back to in-person conferences, and Jim Christian is setting up an in-person conference in Hawaii. But there's also a bunch of virtual conferences that are setting up now. And your friend of mine and friend of Webcology, Nava Hopkins, was developing and practicing one of her conference lectures. Mm-hmm. And I just happened across it just by chance. Looking at Facebook, I saw Nava Hopkins is broadcasting live. So, you know, if Nava's talking about something, I'm curious what she's saying. Yeah. And it was a half hour of just like nerddom. It was excellent. And we got to have her on. But the thing that stood out, a bunch of stuff stood out in this lecture. But for the purpose of this, the phrase that really stood out that she used was SEO empathy. And she's a PPC expert. She was talking about working with SEOs running PPC campaigns, and how search engine optimization and pay-per-click can work with in synergy with each other. Mm-hmm. And the way she empathized, have empathy for your SEO, just brought warmth to my heart. We got to have her on the show soon. And I just wanted to give her a shout out here because, thanks for the half hour lecture. It was really worth the time.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head though earlier when you were sort of introing what you were chatting about. If she's talking, it's probably worth listening.
Well, here's the weird thing. She gave a PowerPoint presentation, great slides, great, and it was interesting the entire way through. And there was at the maximum three of us watching at any given time. And I just thought that was such a shame because, and again, I think she was just recording it for her own purposes and making it live so that other people could give feedback if they happen to be around. But as any good lecturer will, she records it and then plays the tape back to improve it for when she goes on the live circuit. Yep. But again, there was no announcement, and just I happened to be in that environment, and so did two or three other people at the time. But such a great high level. This would be like a university 301 level lecture, and
At the same time, that's probably kind of what she was hoping for, just like a small intimate group of her friends to sort of provide a bit of feedback, as opposed to this monstrous amount of people she doesn't know.
That's probably true. Where do you want to go next? What do we got here?
One thing that I'm excited about, and this came out just yesterday. Google has announced we're talking PPC. So I'm just continuing on PPC right now. Performance Max. So regular listeners will have heard me talk about Performance Max. I was part of the beta testing of it. Actually had some good success, but it kind of feels a bit like a black box where you just sort of like shove some money in and you get some conversions out. I mean, there is a bit of control, but it doesn't have a ton of control, but it gets to a lot of places very, very broadly. And you have a high level of control of your ads. You just don't have as much control over placement as some people might like, but I get it. That's just baked into how it has to function because it's too broad in its reach, like everywhere from email to search to display to like, it just sort of does everything. Anyway, one of the shortcomings. I do a lot of my reporting in Data Studio. Mm-hmm. And one of the shortcomings was Performance Max wasn't supported in Data Studio. You could still get your like total numbers of like your ads spent this much money, but you couldn't really pull out any additional information from Performance Max and segment it out and things like that, which was a problem for me. I can't sort of like go, and here's your Performance Max campaigns. And
oh my God. So, you know what? I need to know, like, how much is your direct traffic increased? Stuff that Google just can't quantify.
Yeah, that's a problem for them. But it is now in Data Studio. For users who do use Data Studio as a reporting tool, it is now, that data is now available in data studio. So you can apply segments and things like that to actually make the data a little more useful. I mean, it wasn't a huge deal. It just meant that when monthly reports went out, I had to actually go in, spend like 10 minutes in there manually taking screenshots and pulling data and sort of pulling out Performance Max data individually. Now it could just be automated.
Don't understate that amount of time. When you say you had to go in there and spend 10 minutes, that's 10 minutes per item you're looking for.
Yeah.
So you're looking for 10 items. You just spent 100 minutes doing that.
That is the scale that makes that not work nicely.
Yeah.
but so that was like a wonderful thank you, Google, for making that. And I was kind of wondering why it hadn't been done earlier, but then I had to remind myself that actually the launch and deployment of it is very quick. Like this has not been that long since it was still in beta and I was just testing it out. So they actually responded pretty quickly on that one. So
Google can deal with technical stuff pretty fast, like making the letter A somehow connect to the letter G and making that all those connections work properly. They can work that out quickly. It's the business stuff that and the legal stuff that they struggle over, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and naming too. The marketing stuff they completely struggle over. But the Google Partner Program is just relaunched. Yeah. I thought that would be of wild interest to you.
It was. Well, it still and still is. I mean, I just got my email going, yep, you're still in, right? So like, okay, not a lot changed for me. But for a lot of users, it will have impacted them. We all saw this coming. We all knew it was going to be happening, right? We've talked about the partner program changes in previous episodes when they first went, we're going to change. There are some parts that I still really dislike about the new partner program. It's the spend is all right. Like I'm okay with going, you don't get to use the logo unless you're actually managing enough to matter. Right. Like I get it. Like, and not even just like on their end, but like if you're not crossing, like say $10,000 in spend, you probably don't have the experience to warrant the badge. Right. Is I think sort of the route they're going. Well, other than the fact that like you're buying this badge, right. In that sort of like sideways-y kind of way. The one that really gets me is that there's recommendations that they have and you need to keep above a 70% in that. That's where I really disagree because they've given some pretty crappy recommendations. Now you clear those and they'll clear from your numbers and they weren't going to let you. Before, but they got a bunch of pushback. Like they were going to always let you clear it, but it was still going to like sort of take a hit at you in that part of the partnership. They did pull that back, which is good. But I've even used recommendations where I'm like, not ready to do that workload right now. And it's not really necessary. The ROI isn't there for that, but I'll leave it in there because it's a reminder of like something I'm supposed to do. It would take a lot of them to hit 70%, like to hit like 30% of this, like I've lost 30%, but there are solid cases where I could go, no, I've left those there. I know them. That's fine, but I shouldn't be penalized for it because I'm actually acting in the client's best interest, right? They're paying me X dollars and I want to use those to their best benefit, not Google's best benefit. And I don't just want to click apply all on a bunch of budget increases or something like that, right? Like, or the other things, or like deploy different campaigns. So that's the one area that I really don't like that they've done.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
70% if you're picking a number is probably pretty solid. It gives you some good wiggle room, but that's the one part where I just don't like it. I shouldn't be made to either apply these changes or respond to them. I appreciate that they put them there. I found some interesting insights there. Some of them are just garbage. That's my only real complaint about it.
Yeah, there is no way that if Google published a tool or program that forced me as an SEO to follow through with specific Google recommendations and, you know, to guarantee they were followed through on, I don't think I'd be comfortable with that. There may be a strategic reason we're screwing up, but we're screwing up strategically, sir.
Well, exactly. And I mean, they do have some nice ways, and it's what I liked that they used to do historically, and they are still doing it. They have some nice ways built into the partner program to sort of incentivize you to try new things or to like test moving things where basically for users who don't know, like they have a store where Google partners can like collect points and then apply them to purchase stuff. I have some e-scooters, right? Like that I just sort of like saved up some points and got them. And one of those is, yeah, matching all the like stuff that you need to do and getting your spends and stuff like that. But part of it, they'll put up like a couple quarterly challenges. And it's like, okay, move your like video spend up X percent from this source, right? Like this type of video campaign or whatever, something that they want you to play with. And you can look at it and go, okay, if I think that's good for my client, then I can test that out, put a little more to it, right? I'm at 68%. They're saying, you know, my threshold is 72% or whatever. All right, let's test a little more, but it gives me that latitude to test and make that decision. And if I decide not to, that's fine. It's not going to cost me anything important. It's going to cost me 700 points or like 10% of my journey to a new e-scooter, right? Or whatever it is. That it's sort of incentivization I was fine with, because it still allows you to make the best decision for your client, but lets Google go, hey, by the way, you should test this out. Hey, here's a little like carrot for you if you want to do that. So I don't mind that kind of incentivization, but I don't like the we're going to punish you. I'm more of the like, hey, give this a test and you might get something. But if you can't, because you know it's not good for your client, don't worry about it. It's not, you know, you can get an e-scooter next time, right? Or whatever. So
is there anything else in the new revamp program? Anything in the announcement that you got today that makes your ears perk up or you think is especially cool from Google?
Not really. I mean, because we knew it was all coming, there's nothing specifically in there. I am going to be sort of interested in some of the things that they've announced are coming, like what they're calling the executive experiences, like invite-only industry events and stuff like that. But they've always kind of had those. I think I'm just sort of interested to see what they turn those into. And do they change their awards program and things like that? I suspect they will. I've sort of seen the writing on the wall with like how they're treating their inventory and their store. So it'll be interested in those sorts of things. Mostly, I guess, but they've always had that too, is their product betas, right? It was a big announcement. I'm like, you've always had product betas. I got in the one for Performance Max. You've always had those. But I'm interested to see if there's some varying version of it. But I think it's mostly like how you become and maintain one that was of highest sort of concern for a lot of paid search people. So it's finally rolled out and it's acceptable. It's not ideal from my standpoint, but it's acceptable.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a change to the way Google, I guess, incentivizes their partner program. Did you hear about the ultimate serious change to the way Google incentivizes, I don't know, an investment program? 20-for-1 stock split announced today, or I'm sorry, announced yesterday.
Yeah.
Google,
what do you think?
Stock. I think it shows how much money is flowing into the digital advertising environment. I mean, Google stock is worth so much and is appreciating in value so quickly that it was smartest for Google to give a 20-to-1. Another, that's a staggering split, 20-to-1 split. So if you had like one share the day before, you had 20 shares the next day. Now, those shares might be valued somewhat lower, but in bulk, you've got a hell of a lot more. And those hell of a lot more are likely to rise quickly. Smarter for Google, of course, because stock raises in value the more you get people buying it, right? So you make it cheaper, right? You get more people buying it. Were you one of the early ins?
No. You know what? Like, I even remember back when it did. But no, I wasn't. Were you?
No, I was.
Actually, not. I think I was working with you back when it when they back when they it
was,
did their
I think
ideas.
It was 2005, 2006. Google's IPO. A friend of the show. I'm not going to mention his name because you'll hear why in a sec. We were trying to figure this out this morning after reading about the stock split. He was one of the initial investors. He got in at 108 a share. It was 88 when it originally when they went IPO originally. Took him about 24 hours to get his share approved and through, his purchase approved and through. And he was able to get two shares at $108 each. Today, he figures those two shares are worth just shy of $12,000. So $210 back in 2006 is worth about 12 grand today in Google stocks.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting like sort of scenario. And it's like Facebook. It's like, oh, okay. Like, do you view Facebook as being on sale right now? Like, do you think it will go back and that they can recover? In which case you could actually get quite a bargain. And similarly, as soon as the split hits the exchanges, which I don't believe has happened. It might have happened. Maybe it's that fast.
I didn't check before we went to air. I didn't have time.
But if it, as soon as it does, now all of a sudden you've got a lot more people who can now only buy two shares, and it's at $137, right? Like they couldn't pony up the like $2,800 that it was, but they can invest buy five shares of this. So now you've got all of a sudden a lot more potential consumers of these shares. Would now be a good time to just sort of buy, sort of if let you, them drive it up, because there's more people that can purchase it, and then sort of like
you got some disposable like after tax income. It would not be a you could buy milkshakes or you could buy Google stock.
Right.
I would buy Google stock in this case, because the milkshake you're gonna it'll be gone, but the Google stock is gonna be there. I don't see anything happening to Google in the short term. I just don't. No. Meta might have been the threat to Google, but I don't think it is anymore.
Right.
A DuckDuckGo's not. Bing's not. CN.Bing isn't. Baidu isn't. The only threat to Google is Google itself, and they seem to be doing quite fine right now.
Well, yeah, they keep screwing up and launching things, as we were talking about earlier, like poorly, like sort of like half-heartedly, and then they die. And they can weather that storm. So, you're right. Like they're doing fine. I think your investment's safe for a good at least few years.
Indeed. And they do mess up. They do introduce things half-heartedly. But again, that depends what they're introducing and where. When it comes to solving problems in search, Google's had its monumental screw-ups in organic search. It really has. You won't be around for like 20 some odd years and not mess up. Mm-hmm. But by and large, Google's doing quite well figuring out the best possible result for any given query. Mm-hmm. There's a great piece that was published around noon today. I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet. Barry Schwartz got it in Search Engine Land. How Google uses artificial intelligence in Google search. And he goes from rank brain to a neural matching, BERT and MUM, and explains the evolution of each of the AI appendages, I guess, for want of a better word, the AI bolt-ons that Google has added on to search or factored right in directly into the algorithm. How Google uses artificial intelligence in search, Search Engine Land. Have you had a chance to see it yet?
I have. As soon as you said the title, I'm like, I don't know how. Like, I don't know how I didn't. Like, of course, I just didn't.
An hour.
Sort of, yeah, okay.
Like, I'm feeling better. Honestly. Like, it's one of those, they do things on Thursday mornings to vex us sort of things.
They do. They do. But I've now added it to my bookmarks and I'll read it over lunch.
I'd throw this up on the SEO must reads for someone like you, Dave, just as a refresher. I don't know if you even need it or not, but it so much goes on. It helps just to put things back in order again.
Oh, absolutely. There's been a number of times I've gone back and just gone, okay, like read that official like that first announcement on like Kelm or something, where it's just like, just refresh your brain. You keep talking about mom, right? Or whatever. Just make sure, remind yourself that you're using it correctly. Like that you're understanding and not blending it with other things that have also come up, right? Like you look at like Bert and Smith and they do different things and there is a lot of blending of them. So it's like, okay, you need to like sort of sometimes go, nope. Just make sure you know which is which.
Earlier, John Mueller was speculating earlier this week was wondering whether Google itself should publish a SEO glossary or not. Well, I mean, like, you know, there's some merit to the idea. I think there's so much to understand and so many unique specific terms in SEO that a glossary isn't a bad idea. Ryan Jones over at WTF SEO has had published a glossary, but if anyone knows Ryan and WTF SEO, Ryan knows his stuff. WTO SEO, on the other hand, is often satire.
Yes,
and I'm trying to be very serious about the story. You see, I love WTF SEO. Did you see the new WTF SEO version of Wordle?
No.
Yeah. Except he made it 9 letters long.
Okay.
The word algorithm is 9 letters long. So Riot made his version SEO-ertle. or whatever he's calling it, Wordle for SEO or whatever, he made it 9 letters long. You still only have 6 chances, though. Good luck.
Okay. I'll link at some point. I know I'll give it a try.
I urge you to. Do not play it on hard mode. But then again, keep in mind, there's only so many 9-letter words in the SEO alphabet.
Right.
And the question is, should Google define them for us, or should we define them for ourselves?
You know, I think with a glossary, I feel pretty safe. I think I'd be okay with Google doing it and go, it needs to be reviewed annually, and you need to pull in some like SEOs to help you do that.
Okay.
So you can't just decide for yourself what this means. And they may not know the terms that we're all using. Like, they know things from a googly standpoint. And I'm sure they're like paying attention to what's going on Twitter and stuff and what we're talking about, but we do use terms that they may not just use commonly or think of.
Well, ever since Danny Sullivan went and joined them, all their spies on the inside are gone.
That's right.
That's right.
So I think that's why he went.
They don't even know anymore. We have our own language, Google. Even Bert Smith won't even figure it out. Good luck.
You know what? They might have somebody on the inside. We'll find out. It'll be like, and now Barry Schwartz is joining Google. It's like, oh.
The end of times. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And that would
be. You're just going to like pull one over until all their information becomes obsolete and then replace them with a new one.
I'll tell you,
Barry's taking over from Danny as Danny retires. Barry comes in.
If
5 years, gives all the information.
If Barry Schwartz does take over at Google or does do any, gets a job. If he gets a job at Google, I can tell you straight up, the SEO glossary would be written in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Uncanny, yeah. But it would happen.
There's maybe the route to go. Yes, you should produce one. Ask Barry.
Yeah, that's right. Google should do it, but they got to pay Barry to get it done. That's exactly how it should work. Okay, public service announcement. There's about 1 million WordPress sites out there. They are open to a vulnerability. They're running Elementor. And there's some add-ons that are dangerous. There's a story in Search Engine Journal. Roger Monte published it yesterday. According to... the U.S. government NIST website, vulnerabilities on the essential add-ons for the Elementor plugin make it possible for an attacker to launch a local file intrusion attack, allowing your installation to reveal information about itself and passwords and such, so that people can do other nefarious stuff on your WordPress site, and it allows the attacker to read files, arbitrary files. So be aware, the essential add-ons for Elementor WordPress plugin, anything running before 5.0.5, update now.
Always good advice.
Yep. What else? We have about 10 minutes left in before the clock strikes top of the hour.
Well, we haven't mentioned his name enough, so I'm going to go with the story from Barry Schwartz.
Okay.
over on Search Engine Roundtable. It was from a few days ago, on the 31st. I just found it an interesting story that, not interesting. We'll get into it. It was, answering the question, does the placement of internal links matter? Good question.
Okay.
We all assume it does. I shouldn't say all. The question was asked, and it was asked reasonably. So, what does that mean? Basically, the conclusion, if you go through the entire video, which I won't make people do, is pretty much like you think it does. was what it boils down to, or like what you would think. So the short answer is technically no. So just by like, if it's link 2 out of 50 on a page, does that favor or something? It seems no. But what was also added in is the context of it
there matters. You go.
So that's where kind of like, if it's in the content, it would be viewed like this. Oh, I understand. It's a top navigation. So that's the sort of stuff that it does. So it ended up sort of circling back to, okay, technically, right. It's not like what number is it on the page or even necessarily where it is on the page. It's what kind of link is it?
So and why sort of, it is.
Presumably how visible, like how prioritized would it be for a casual surfer to encounter?
Well, another thing that I think needs to be considered at links on the pages and context is what's around the link. What's right. What's the words ahead of and behind the link? What anchor text is used and why did they choose that anchor text? What's the webmaster trying to get the user to do or point out to the user? And does that fit with the way Google perceives the overall page?
Right.
Like you said, you know, I hate the pages where you have like 50 some odd links going off the page. Now you got some category page that has, I'm not going to say no sense of order, structure, or contextual topic, because it might, but it's hard to find one when you got that many links leaving a page. The value of those links is, I don't believe in link degradation theory or anything like that, but I do strongly believe that Google tries to understand why it's being asked to do X, Y, or Z. Why is it being asked to follow this link? And if Google can find a reason that this thing should exist in this place and it's helpful to the user, then it will be considered a useful, good, rewardable link. Right. Otherwise, it gets ignored. They just don't care.
Yeah. Makes sense.
A question that should be asked with links. Do you use titles on links? Write in.
No.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
There's times it's useful. There's times it's not useful. If there's a number of links on a page and the user might hover over to try to decide if this is where they want to go or not, or there's no other place to put a little bit more description on why this link might exist, in that case, it's worth using.
Right. You're using something like click here or whatever as your...
Then there's no benefit whatsoever. You're wasting everybody's time. I hate click here. Oh my God, I hate click here. Oh, do I hate click here? Yeah, I used to give lectures when I used to speak at conferences, I used to rally against the four-letter word home.
Yeah.
I just hated that word. I mean, I had to pull some stupid trick out of the bag of tricks. Mine was never use the word home, because everyone uses the word home.
I know, and I often see a lot, and I've even done it myself and then gone, no, wait, Dave, you know better than this. It's like, and an article you can find here and then move on. And I'm like, or an article, blah, and then just put its title.
Yeah,
an article and then just about... link its title, because you probably have the keywords in there.
Yeah,
and pass some relevancy along. So,
and incidentally, do your brother and sister webmasters a favor here. You know, give context right. to the links you're giving to them.
Right, right.
Okay, we are down to about 5 minutes in the show.
I've got a interesting one. Well. You know what? I say that they're not all interesting, but they're interesting to me.
That's good enough for me.
So we talked a while back about Google Merchant Center. You have your product feeds and they've been added to organic, like that you could all of a sudden use them for organic search, or they might show up. Basically, shopping results might also show your free results. It wasn't just going to be paid anymore if you had a feed. You had Shopify or whatever, and it just auto-generates a feed, or WordPress, and you have a feed generator. You create it. One thing that it didn't do, however, was auto-tagging. So now they have started adding, as of 2 days ago, thanks, Barry Schwartz. So we've mentioned his name, I don't even know how many times in this episode, had covered the story over at Search Engine Land. They had added auto-tagging, basically, that means that over in analytics, we're going to be gathering together some information on that it's a product, where it's coming from, that sort of thing. Like, it won't just be this, like, Google sent a person here. We'll be gaining some insight into how they got there as far as the, like, shopping side of things. So I found that, well, I liked it. Obviously, my first thing, I read that and went, oh, okay, turn it on.
Like, is making it so much easier to get, and this is non-identifiable information, so before before anybody gets all weird about it, Google's making it so much easier to track a individual new returning users, whatever, to track their movement from point A to from a landing to exit point in a website, and all the stuff they do in between. And it's all about tagging events, and they're making it so easy to do that. I got a feeling we're all going to be drowning in information soon. So don't go. Did you remember back in the early days of word processors when, like, you'd see an announcement, it would have like 8 different fonts on it? People are going to go nuts with Tag Manager.
Yeah.
We're going to be drowning in irrelevant information very soon. But you could be swimming and floating above your peers in highly relevant information. It depends who you use this stuff.
Right.
I'm really excited. I'm about to go into a really big build, in a Magento build at that, using a tag manager automated up. And I'm actually quite excited about this, just to see what happens.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Speaking of swimming in a sea of data, one more announcement that our listeners might like to know about. Google Search Console, this came out a few days ago, back on the 31st. Their error reporting for breadcrumbs and how to structure data has changed. So you might see a spike in the number of errors coming in there. Obviously, anytime you see an error like that, go take a look. But it's important to know that this happened on the 31st, and it is a reporting change only. So those errors were always there. You just didn't know it. Now you'll know it. But something didn't happen to create new errors on that day. It's just that they're...
Oh, my goodness. So Google's going to show you something that was wrong. That's always been wrong. This has been like something like your muffler has been dragging behind your car and you just didn't know it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, so now you'll know it. I've actually seen a couple cases where, like, there did seem to be an increase. They were pretty low level, so I can't go causation. I can only go, it's a coincidence that it happened on the same day. It doesn't seem like there's anything earth shattering in there. It was all warnings in my case anyway. And it was just like, okay, it's things that if I'd run a validator on them and really nitpick through, I would have seen it. You know, just if you see that, because anytime I see an error, I'm like, oh, no, what's hitting the fan now? In this case, nothing or nothing new. At least you should pay attention to it just like you would normally. But you didn't do anything wrong. Just make sure people know where to look. Don't look at what you did do on that day, because it isn't that. Look at what caused the problem that's always been there. And dig in that way. So
it's a breadcrumb error. It shouldn't be that hard to fix.
No, exactly. Or how to. It's like, it'll just be missing, like, you didn't put an image. All right. Well, it's a warning, right? And I don't have an image. So there we go.
And there we go. We have gone full clock. We have enough time to say thank you so much, Brasco, Darren, and Brandy at WMR.fm. Thank you to everybody at WMR. Got to remind our audience that we may be entering the third year, and we might even be near the end, near the finish line when it comes to this pandemic. We might be, we might not be, but we're not there yet. It's still real. And in the short time that Omicron has existed, more people have been hospitalized in the 8 weeks we've known of Omicron. More people have been hospitalized than in the entire 2 years of the pandemic before that. COVID is still very real. It's still having a massive impact on our society. It's still inhibiting our economies and challenging our health systems. Please, for the love of your society, get vaccinated and wear a mask and take COVID protocols. We really can control this virus, make it go endemic, and get our society back. But please, you'll get vaccinated. On behalf of Dave Davies from VSOC Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedge from Detroit Media. You've been listening to Webcology on WMR.FM on the 3rd of February, 2022. Recorded on the 3rd of February, 2022. Be safe, be kind, rank well, be real good to each other, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.